Hello, Guardians. Today is April the 12th, 2024. My name's Dan Finity, and welcome to Destiny Digest. Short and sweet intro for you today. I had my friend Illphysics, aka Tony, come and join me to talk about Onslaught, to talk about Prismatic, to talk about all the things that we learned about Destiny 2 this week. Excellent conversation. Can't wait for you guys to listen to it. Just a couple quick notes community-wise. Head on over to my Discord, discord.gg/Danfinity. If you're looking for a fire team, just added roles for Onslaught and Pantheon, as well as roles for those looking for Whisper of the Worm or Outbreak Perfected. Those can all be tagged in our LFG, and looking forward to hanging out with you there. This week, I've been having a ton of fun in Onslaught and helping people out with different activities with Into the Light. I just hung out all evening with my friend Moshpat to help Guardians get their Whisper of the Worms and their Catalysts. If you need help with that and you're listening to it on the day of release, I will be live on Sunday, April 14th, helping more Guardians with my buddy Rev. Come through, would love to see you, twitch.tv/Danfinity. Now, without any further ado, let's get to this conversation with Tony. Tony!
Sir, yep.
Thank you so much for joining us again. I forget how many times you've been on the show now in different capacities, but I think it's like four or five times, but it's always a pleasure to have you.
Yeah, so likewise, it's a pleasure to be here, and you know, one of the few people for sure. Like, it's got to be on like top three people that if they ask me to do something for, you know, their content or like team up on something, it's almost an automatic yes. So love being here, and I appreciate the invite. You know, per the usual.
Well, that always means a lot when you say it, and I appreciate it, dude. A lot has happened in the world of Destiny 2 over the past couple of weeks, over the past couple of days, honestly.
Yeah,
man. How are you? What are you playing in Destiny 2? Are you like mostly Onslaught, mostly Into the Light stuff?
Well, I mean, so Into the Light, of course, this is Wednesday, the 10th.
Odd Into day Light, afterward.
True. You know, Into the Light ended up dropping yesterday. I've only gotten one opportunity to play, and that was yesterday. On drop, I ended up kicking it with Ascended Nomad and Benji, playing Onslaught. And we did that for several hours. I was really tired, you know, like a lot of stuff's been, you know, just going on. And I think I streamed like quite a bit over the weekend as well. So, you know, I just wanted to make sure that it was one of those days, and I know that anybody that just works in general, you have those days where it's just like, I'm just happy that I'm here.
Yeah.
You know, like I've had a crazy set of days in a row that I've been working, and like, you know, I'm just happy that I'm here and that I made it to work. And we're getting some stuff done, but it was like a 6 hour stream as opposed to my normal, I don't know, requisite average of 12, 14 hour streams. Yeah. My vamp hour streams. And so, rocked with Onslaught for several hours. The last run, we ended up hitting that 50. That's the max number of rounds or waves in Onslaught. It was fun. My impression was that it was just fun. Whenever I play PvE in particular, that's what I'm looking for, is trying to just build craft heavy. You know, I already build craft pretty heavy in general. It's just fun to see all the different permutations and, you know, optimize and min max and stuff like that. I think that most of us, like year whatever players, you know, or we're like deep into this at this point, that's a big part of it, especially as we've acquired so many fantastic tools from our third party developers, right? The D2 Armor Picker, the D2 Foundry, of course, DEM. And just putting together some spicy, well-optimized builds that really synergize well to, you know, with each other. So, you know, doing that is a large part of PvE for me, just that power fantasy. And, you know, obviously in PvE, you can get even more of a power fantasy than you can get in PvP, which is understandably so. So we just try to let loose in there. And just, you know, shoot some things, shoot as many things as possible. I'm definitely a gunplay freak. I love just like shooting things with my gun. That's what's rewarding to me, hitting those precision shots, whether it be PvP or PvE. We're going to talk about this in a bit, but, you know, just really looking forward to those new weapons that are dropping from the Onslaught and the new perk combinations and the new perks as well. It was fun to see those drops start happening yesterday, and I had a really good time in Onslaught, and I look forward to getting back in there for sure. But it was definitely a vibe.
Onslaught just feels like a really good session type game mode that I don't know if I've necessarily felt in Destiny for a while. Like, the way that I play is normally like in helps, and so like I do longer session things, longer sessions of helps and everything, and that can be quite varied. But those activities, generally dungeons and things of the like, those have mechanics all the way through that are very sometimes can be a little bit more than turn brain off, run the thing, which Onslaught definitely feels like turn brain off, run the thing, just get loot, and you can get out if you want to after your runs.
Most definitely.
I enjoyed that. I think it's something that like Destiny has been missing for a while, is like a little session based thing. You can hop in. It definitely feels like I've been kind of tossing this around on the podcast recently, but it definitely feels like an interaction grab of like, yeah, just hop in, play for like an hour, a day, get that 50, get your loot, and then hop on out.
Yeah. And you know, that's the great thing about Destiny 2, right? And you're right. That is something that's been kind of missing. You know, we can get that from Strikes, but obviously Strikes have been kind of left by the wayside for a while now. But you know, it's two things about Onslaught. One is just what you just said, right? And that's why I've gravitated a little bit towards like Helldivers. Helldivers is kind of like that. You just hop in and you just shoot some things. There's
you
no
chill.
Side quests. There's nothing. You fly in and you just shoot bugs. And if you want to, you can kind of just roam off to the side a little bit, pick up some super credits or whatever else. But there's no stress. You can shoot your friends. That's true. I'm a habitual line stepper in that regard. I do run the mortar blast, people. Watch out.
I'm a mine guy.
But
you know this.
But
about
Dan,
me.
Yes, yeah. But Dan, day one was with those stupid mines.
Still running them, baby. Anyways.
Oh my god, I can't believe that. You're like the only person I know that runs that, man. And it just
until
gets the whole team. Oh my god. We've created a monster. So Yeah. Between you know, just hopping in and it just being that mindless fun, but still being rewarding and still being to a degree challenging. I do feel like for the most part they hit the mark with the degree of challenge from 0 to 50. But the other thing I like about it, and actually really like about it, is just the horde concept. Just throw me a bunch of enemies, you know?
Yeah.
Throw me a bunch of enemies. I just want to sit there for 50 rounds and just like shoot off my guns and just. You know, of course, like I said, the difficulty is pretty spot on. They could probably boost it up a little bit for players like me. But then again, I don't know. I was in a 3-person team that was well optimized, right?
Yeah.
So maybe the challenge at that point is the same thing. That's a challenge with a dungeon, which is going in solo or going in duo or whatever else. But either way, a blast. Simply that horde mode concept, just throw it. Endless waves of enemies at me and just allow me to just do something to feel like powerful, just that power fantasy of making an impact individually and as a, you know, coordinated team if necessary. So yeah, it was dope.
I enjoyed the maps, the changes to the maps, particularly like Vostok and Moth Yards.
I was gonna say Vostok. I was actually pleasantly surprised by that. I agree.
Yeah, they look beautiful and like and also terrifying. and like the scope of like how deep the darkness has kind of come into our lines.
Our cozy zone, most definitely. Like places that we've never faced enemies before, now they're right on our doorstep. Totally. And that definitely seemed from the Vidoc itself, or or the gameplay preview, you know, that's what it seems like based on what they said as well. They're right on our doorstep. Now Shax has opened up the opportunity for us to bring back some of these banned weapons, which I thought was kind of a cool little storyline as well. So,
yeah. What did you think? So I'm guessing in your waves, did you play fight against Fallen or the Hive during your playthrough?
The Hive. Now I was just shooting things, but yeah, the Hive the majority of the time. Gotcha. that's a good question, I guess, as well. If you're facing the Hive in, like, if you drop onto a map, are you facing the same enemy on that for all the waves?
Yes.
Or is it specific to a map?
You are. I don't think that it's specific to a map because on the Midtown map, I face Hive and Elixni.
In the same encounter? Like instance?
In different sessions.
Different sessions. So got you.
But it always seems to be like the same enemy type for all 50 waves. And then it seems like there's like a weekly boss. I think this week it's the ogre.
Okay.
And then you have the tormentors that pop up periodically.
Mm-hmm.
The Elixni, I despise with all my heart. There's something.
What?
There's something possibly screwy going on behind the scenes there, because it was like the Elixir would load in and then instantly be at the APU and doing damage to it. Like, I'm not talking like, oh, well, you know, they made it a short walk or a short breezy teleport over there. I'm talking about instant teleportation from drop over a football field away directly to the APU.
Well, you know, we had those first day server jitters. I personally did not experience that particular instance.
Yeah,
that you're talking about. Mine weren't right on because you know, now that I think about it, I did face the Hive and I did face the Elixir. I did face the Fallen as well. I didn't face those particular.
I have a clip I can show you.
Because you sound enthusiastic. Like it sounds like your enemies were particularly enthusiastic.
The giant Shanks would just appear. And as soon as they dropped, I would say, hey, watch this. And then they're on it. And so, I don't know. That feels a little screwy to me. The Hive weren't so bad. I actually enjoyed my time fighting the Hive more. But I did feel like the level of difficulty for both was pretty substantial as you ramped up level to level in Onslaught. Did you try Legend? Were you in Legend or Regular? Yep.
Yeah, we played a little bit of the Regular until we realized that the 50, I think you can only access through the Legend.
No, it's there. You can do it through.
You just have to go to the side. Is the match made one only to 10? Or can you get to 50 off of like the match made one?
There is the match made one, which is just a tenner.
That's what it is. So for folks who haven't played yet or whatnot, and sorry to interrupt, but it's two different playlists, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's the one on the left, top left, is match made, and it looks like you can only go like the 10 rounds.
Yeah,
10 rounds.
And it changes
in that one.
Maps every 10 levels.
Okay, gotcha. And I'm sorry, levels, the waves is what they call them. And on the right side, it's, you know, build your own fire team. It's not match made or whatnot. And you can select each map, you know, so you could play normal or you could play legend because it's six selections, three maps each.
I like that they allow you to choose the map that you want to go on.
It's like a private match. It's like private matches for Onslaught. And that's where you can, like I said, it's not match made. You choose your own fire teams. You can go in solo. You can go in duo. You can go a trio, of course. Unlike private matches, right? You get the same like requisite loot or whatnot. And those are the ones that you can take the 50 waves, if you so wish to do so and make it, as well. So, cause it gets obviously increasing difficulty as you go on in those waves and whatnot. So it's dope. It's dope. I liked it. I enjoyed it. I look forward to getting back in there. The loot was on point.
Yeah.
the loot was on point as far as how much loot dropped. And, you know, I'm still learning about this, you know, like about Onslaught. And obviously it just dropped yesterday and I only got the chance to play for like, you know, several hours yesterday. I did end up, what is it called? What do you call it when you like focus to the point where only one of the new brave weapons ends up dropping? Starts with an E, I feel like. Somebody in your like listeners is just like, Tony, it's this. And they're yelling.
They're going crazy.
They're going crazy right now.
Yeah. Let them go crazy. Let them go crazy.
Okay. All right. This is how you do. Okay. This is the
I'm okay with my.
Okay. This is your community. I'm just trying to figure out how you and your community interact. Okay. I got you. You guys are trolling
each other. I'm not against an adversarial relationship with my audience.
That's crazy. You're such a nice guy. It's like,
yeah.
Okay. All right.
I can
all right.
let
this
bits go for on for a very long time, though. One of my
How does Jenny feel about that?
So one that I played. One thing that I've been doing recently is asking her to come here because I have something very important to say. And so when she shows up, I just hand her something. I'm like, can you hold that for me? And then I'll continue talking for a little bit and then I'll hand her something else. And just to see how many things that she'll hold for me.
This is psychological warfare.
Everything is. But anyway, I do that with friends. I once had a 10-minute hug in a bar. That was kind of nice.
I'm okay with that. I like that sort of thing. Yeah.
Yeah, okay. That was good. It was really good. but Onslaught, yeah, I really liked the focusing of the weapons. I was only in my time because my play session was broken up to like we hopped into Onslaught at launch. We played the Whisper mission and then in the normal and the legend version, and then I helped a Garden of Salvation div run after that. Friends gotta help friends.
No doubt. Yeah. You know.
Yeah. But I'm looking forward to more Onslaught tomorrow.
Yeah.
But yeah, I only got the Elsie Bray focus on that one. The shiny drops. I like that you can take the missions and then get the fixed roll, as well as the shiny version of the weapon. I think that's really cool. What did you have drop that you enjoyed playing with the most?
So I didn't understand the like focusing system, and again, I apologize everybody for not knowing that the particular word. You end up going to the new social space with Shax, and you end up interacting with like a particular statue that is associated with a particular brave new brave weapon, and when you do that, you end up activating it or something, and that weapon is the only weapon that is going to drop from Onslaught at that point. And then you can deactivate that, and now you get like random drops of like different brave weapons that are available for that week or whatnot. And so I accidentally interacted with the statue for Elsie's like rifle or whatnot, or whatever it's called. Pulse rifle, 340, slow rate of fire, slowest rate of fire, high impact, if I remember correctly, three bursts. So it's not the aggressive frame, it's the high impact frame. And so I did that accidentally. I would have actually done the recluse if I knew what I was doing at the time. I did end up going back at the end of my session and deactivating that statue. But to go back to your question, I actually really like that rifle a lot. It's the same type of rifle in the same subfamily, I should say, as the Messenger. But it feels, I'm a big weapon feels guy. It feels lighter. I was reading something a little bit more in detail about it before. I think I ended up going over to D2 Foundry as well to like spec it a little bit more deeply. And it seems like it's pretty juiced on the stats. Above Messenger. Yeah. And that's really interesting because usually like in-game weapons, especially from trials I've noticed, are super juiced with the stats. Things that you get is like the example that I'll give is things that you get from world drops For example, the new 120, the new 120 arc RPM hand cannon that you get as a world drop this season is very, very diminished. It's very, very like understat. understated, if you want to just say, I'll just make up a word.
Yeah.
Versus something like Igneous Hammer, which we all know is juice with the stats. Palindrome, you know, Nightfall Reward from Nightfall's Past, juice with the stats. And so it was really cool to see LC's rifle be even more juice than Messenger, it seems like, as far as overall stats that are available on the weapon just at base. And it felt amazing. It just felt amazing is all I'm saying. It felt light. It felt responsive. I like the gun model a lot. It looks great. It shades great. So I can talk about that weapon like all day. I ended up getting, it's Void, which is cool as well. And so I ended up getting a repulsor brace, maybe like Frenzy. And I was already using Gerfalcon as well. Oh, man. Okay. It fit right into my build. Right into my build. Because normally I use a repulsor brace Hero's Burden with that build. With that Void 3.0 build with Gerfalcon and, you know, Devour on it. I mean, you just can't die on that build. And you just have, like, overshields on overshields. It's super fun. So, you know. The recluse that I got was a very similar role to that, and that fit right into my build. Those are pretty much the only two weapons that I, you know, I got to interact with over that session, and a lot of fun, and really cool. Like I said, I'll just reiterate the fact that the perk combinations that are dropping on these weapons and how they fit into current power fantasy builds that are currently available in PvE, very, very cool. Very, very cool. So.
I guess that it would make sense that you would drop more hot weapons, one would say. Like, in a free update for everybody 2 months before Final Shape.
And like, that's the thing, exactly. You're trying to get everybody back to the game, especially, you know, the OGs. Trying to get those folks excited. You're trying to get them on social media talking about the game.
Which is working.
It's working, like, fantastically. You've seen the morale just over the last month and a half, just completely go 0-180. And that's great to see. That's great to see. And great to see that people are genuinely excited about coming back to the game with a lot of depth. You know, this isn't just superficial stuff. This is stuff that's already in the game now. And you can see how the previews that we're getting from Bungie on things that are coming from Final Shape, you can see how those are going to fit into, you know, your gameplay loop. And I think the most exciting thing about that, too, is that there's so many permutations. We're obviously going to talk about this a little bit on the new prismatic subclass. Mm-hmm. You can't see, you know, like, it's going to shake it up to the point where we can only imagine some of the things that might be possible with some of the build crafting that's coming in Final Shape. So super exciting. And it's I think the most exciting part about it is the fact that we don't know, you know, what's coming. So it's cool.
Even the stuff we do know, it feels so abstract.
Yeah, that's what I mean. Yep, exactly. Yep.
Like, yeah, it's crazy.
It's just like, specifically, again, to reiterate, with the prismatic class, we're going to be able to combine a bunch of stuff from a bunch of different subclasses, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then with the exotic class item that's coming, we're going to be able to combine exotic perks and not just from that character, right?
If I saw
it correctly, we're going to be able to take something that's exotic from a Titan, something that's exotic from like a Hunter, so a Phidian Aspects perk plus maybe like the perk from Syntheseps, combine that to the same and just put that on your Warlock, or put that on your Titan, put that on your Hunter. It won't be class specific in that regard.
I think there's a trade-off there, though. Let's back it up though real quick.
Yep. I'm listening.
Over the next couple months, where do you see the PvP sandbox leaning? Do you see these brave weapons kind of seeping their way in to high usage in PvP? Not just for like the novelty of them, but what roles do you see kind of being more versatile in that space?
So I'm just looking at them again right in front of me. You know, I haven't seen or even like memorized or even seen like all of the different perk combinations that are coming mm-hmm. on everything. Do I think that some of this stuff is going to become meta? It's tough for me to like, there's nothing that has stood out to me outside of one thing, which is probably obvious that I'll mention here in a second, that I'm just like, man, that's definitely going to be like meta, or that's going to be particularly spicy. So in that regard, I feel like they've had a lot of forethought. Mm-hmm. Of course, something might sneak up into the meta. Of course, I don't know. You know, like I said, I'm not well-versed enough right now. Things have just dropped, and we've just seen a bunch of the perks and perk combinations. I think that, of course, the one outlier that I just alluded to was Luna's Howl. That's gonna mm-hmm. that's gonna definitely be meta 100%. Not just because we've seen some of the perk combinations. A great example would be Slideshot Precision Instrument, and also they've spoken really highly of any sort of rework for Magnificent Howl as well, which mm-hmm. was the trait that made Luna's Howl and Not Forgotten, you know, kind of legendary amongst you know, D2 weapons. I think we're going to see that at the very least just based off of nostalgia. People are just excited to see that back. A lot of people, that was their favorite weapon in the Crucible. A significant amount of people have said that to me. So I definitely expect to see that creep up in usage once that ends up dropping and people get those perk combinations, and even more when it becomes enhanced as well with the final shape. I think that based on me using Elsie's rifle, what do they call it? Yeah, it is called Elsie's rifle. Yeah. I think that that thing is amazing. I expect to see that creep up, at least to messenger levels, wherever messenger is right now. Again, you're going to be able to get that enhanced come final shape. So I don't see any reason why that wouldn't, you know, leave some sort of substantial footprint similar to where messenger is right now. Let me see.
Looking at Destiny Tracker, it looks like messenger, the adept version, is at least in the top 20.
Yeah, I do expect it to, you know, land somewhere around there. If not mm-hmm. exactly where it's at, probably somewhere decently, you know, below it or whatnot. But it's also void, so you're going to be able to play that into the void kit, which I think is the thing that's going to end up, you know, like messenger is kinetic, right? Mm-hmm. And so Elsie's, you're going to be able to build craft into anything void. We're talking about Gerfalcon and stuff like that. I'm literally going to put together a PvP Gerfalcon build again, because that gameplay loop is so much fun in PvE, but mm-hmm. You know, you can definitely make some things happen with a lot of the perks that are on Elsie's rifle as well. And like I said, it feels really nice. It's mobile, it feels light, it's got significant handling to it, and it's got some great perks that are super fun gameplay loop wise. So that, I saw something else there as well. We'll see how Mountaintop ends up dropping. Midnight mm-hmm. Coup, we'll see how that ends up playing in. It still has relatively diminished year one stats, and right now Ranger's kind of like everything on that. Yep, and so we'll definitely see how those end up playing. I'll have a better feel for that at the end of next week, honestly, because I expect to see those, especially Mountaintop, I expect to see that in the Crucible. And so we'll see how effective that is versus other, you know, breach-loaded GLs that we currently have in the Crucible sandbox. Hammerhead, I do expect to see a bit more of that for sure. Mm-hmm. That was another one of those beloved weapons in Forsaken or around Forsaken time. Blast Furnace, the original dad rifle, by the way. Yeah. The original dad rifle. I know a lot of people love that thing, so I definitely expect. I've seen some spicy. I mean, it's just going to be nice. I think we should expect to see Blast Furnace for sure. It's got like double stability type perks on there. I think it's got, you know, like another rapid hit Headseeker. I mean, it's just juiced as far as this like perk combination. It already had like pretty juiced base stats as well. But like I said, I think a lot of these weapons are going to creep up into the meta because they just chose them well. They are nostalgic hits. You know, even if they just have, you know, decent perks on them, I think we'll see them, you know, get some play or whatnot. But the ones that got those top tier perks like Blast Furnace, like Luna's Howl, I think we should expect to see them creep up pretty heavily into the meta usage.
Yeah, during that Garden of Salvation run, I was using Recluse pretty much the entire time. I was actually having a blast with it.
Yeah, the gun still feels amazing.
Yeah. And familiar. I mean, there are other types mm-hmm. of that style of gun in the game. It's just,
of course,
it felt good to have the OG back.
Exactly.
And running.
Exactly. Yeah. And that's going to carry. That's going to carry pretty heavily. Like I said, even if it just gets decent perks, people are going to use it just because they just love the gun. And that's another fantastic and understated thing about Destiny 2 is, I mean, we all know and recognize that the gunplay is something that is at the forefront of players' minds whenever they say their favorite aspect of Destiny 2. But it's also about specific guns that people have these year-long, like, you know, love affairs with, and the nostalgia is strong. And we've seen, you know, that we are a very nostalgic gamer community, you know, the Destiny community, by, you know, how much of a balance the team has to strike between bringing old things back and supporting new things, right? So I tell my people all the time, they're just like, man, we just wish that, you know, spare rations, when it came back, they would just give it the bump to these stats or whatnot. And I'm just like, I don't know if that's a good idea, just because I want to make sure we respect the dev's time when they create something new and fresh. You know, like, there's a limited amount of time we can play with these weapons, right? Yeah. And if we just keep on allowing the older weapons to power creep or to be on the same level as the newer weapons, then what's the point, you know, of that dev time that just got put into something brand new? No, you know, let's try the new stuff. Let's create something new. Let's shake some stuff up. And the people that are super nostalgic about the old guns, you know, let's just make sure that they're viable. But, you know, I'm completely okay with them not being, you know, in the same place as they were in the original sandbox with which they were introduced. That's my take, at least, though. Don't shoot the messenger. That's just my take.
Messenger's a different weapon. You
know? Oh, that's true. I see what you did there, Dad.
Did you play any of the Whisper yesterday?
I did. I hesitate on saying this little thing we were doing. I don't think I want to let it go, because then somebody's gonna blame me. Tony, you got that patch before I could do it and stuff like that. I'm just not. But I wasn't even planning on doing the Whisper stuff. Love that mission, by the way. Goated. That exotic mission is just like, if there was an exotic mission that somebody was just like, yo, what's the best off the top? Immediately, I'd just be the Whisper mission. Like riding a bike. That's the one. It is like riding a bike, too, because there's a lot of places where you can get lost. There's a lot of places where, you know, you could fall down here. There's a lot of places you just don't even know where to go if you're just like doing it. A really good example of that is when you drop down and you go into that like large stone room. And
are you talking about the red room with all the portals, or are you talking about the green room?
I think it's the green room that we're talking about. Yeah, it's well lit. The green room, stone everywhere. You know, it looks like you're inside of like a square or whatnot. And you go initially, you know, when you don't know that mission, you go and you're just like, oh man, maybe I just need to go forward or whatnot to get to the next location.
I need to lick this.
And it's just like Bungie's just like, no, you dumbass. Can I say dumbass?
Yeah, you can say dumbass.
Okay. No, you dumbass. You literally have to just, you don't even go explore this room. The next way is you just drop slightly down in this little crack that's right underneath you. You don't even go into the big room.
So missable.
It's so missable. You wouldn't even think it's there. You would not even think it's there. It's just this little crack, and you go down right underneath you. You don't even go to the big room, and that's the way out. That's the way out. It's crazy. It's a crazy troll. But it's like riding a bike, because, you know, I just found myself, it was just on autopilot, because we had done that mission so many times in the past. And so, yeah, it was dope to see it come back. I really enjoyed it. I didn't plan on doing the Whisper mission, but, you know, we found out about this little like glitch thing, which I don't know if exists, you know, like today. They might have patched it already, but, you know, we were just trying to like figure it out and see how it works. So we were doing that for like, I don't know, half an hour, 45 minutes, just geeking out with my community nerds on it and trying to find the process. But I did a significant amount of that. Got the Whisper, got the Catalyst, got it crafted. You know, now we're just trying to get, you know, the additional like I don't know what you call them, attunement options or something like that.
Like perks.
Exactly. So. Honestly, I even forgot that whole system. You know, I guess that started maybe with Revision Zero, or is that the gun that started it? Like with the crafted exotics and
Well, No,
no, it was Witch Queen, right? It was like Osteo maybe or something.
Osteo was the first craftable, and then you had all of the glaives that you could get to craft.
The forgotten ones.
I think Dead Man's Tale was the first of those that had additional options that you ran it over and over again and just in order to get the additional perks.
Yeah, so I've never been like a huge Dead Man's Tale person or a Vision Zero person. So just even, you know, conceptually, I was just like, I got to do extra? What are you talking about? And so my people were like literally just sitting there explaining it to me. Tony, we talked about this a year ago, you know, when you decided you didn't want to do the Dead Man's Tale stuff. You didn't want to do the Revision, you know, Zero stuff. You didn't want to learn then when we were trying to explain it to you. Now you're doing it for Whisper. Now you want us to do all the work for you and tell you how to. And you're the one that's supposed to be the streamer. You're the one that's supposed to be the one that's like telling us stuff.
That's creator's life, though.
Like, it really is.
It's,
people think we, you know, like, yeah, sure. Yeah. I'm just a disseminator of information. Yeah, we'll go out there and we'll do some science every once in a while. But, you know, a lot of times I'm just picking up stuff from you guys and then just rehashing it whenever somebody asks me later. So definitely.
Yeah, I really like the mission. It was like riding a bike. I liked the change at the end with the ogre boss. Like that was cool. And also the prisms. So that you could spawn the bosses at different times, so you could take them one by one.
Yes.
Yeah, I still feel like 20 minutes is ample enough time now.
Totally enough time. I mean, we're so powerful now, seriously.
Yeah.
You know, I had, I've got two super optimized, like, PvE solar and void builds, and it was nothing. I mean, you know, maybe be a little bit more, obviously, if I was doing a solo. But I was in there with, you know, two other well-optimized guardians or whatnot. 20 minutes is plenty of time, for sure.
Yeah. Something that was brought to my attention was that, like, we had burns on those old missions. So you kind of had to take into account, like, a solar or a void or an arc rotation. So that might have a little bit to do
about
with
that.
It, too.
True.
So one thing, and I hesitate to say this because I've rallied against it in the past, is like a champion or two might have like actually been like
spiced
a nice addition in those like taken rooms. I could see those being kind of cool.
I hear you. I guess the devil's advocate side thing of that is it's a free update.
Yeah.
Right. And
you want people
I
to get
see
the
it,
loot.
You want people to get the loot, but I'm thinking about, and I've just for the last couple of years, just in particular, I've just been thinking about like my new lights and my folks that, you know, are a little bit newer to the game that only have a certain degree of resources that we have, you know, from playing the game for years. And so, you know, having something like this be pretty straightforward, I think I'd lean that way. So I like the way that it dropped. It provided a little bit of extra depth from some of the things that you said before, just a tiny bit. But for the most part, it's more just kind of an intro to exotic missions is the way that I think of it. I know that Bungie, along with getting the nostalgic OGs back, are definitely, and it's in their best interest too, of course, get some new people back as well and introduced into the game before Final Shape. Because that really is like a lot of our friends are just like, you know, hey, you know, should I pick up, you know, this game or, you know, Destiny 2, you know, we know the Final Shape's coming through. Oh, yeah. I mean, what I would always tell people is if I plan on telling them to join in for the Final Shape, I'm going to tell them to drop in early so that they can get acclimated to the game. Yeah. And so those are the folks I feel like, you know, Bungie catered a little bit more to into the light as well. I agree with kind of like how it dropped in that regard.
Yeah, it was very much like a, hey, everybody in the pool, stuff's about
everybody.
To pop off.
Exactly, exactly. And so we'll save all this like challenging stuff, all this, you know, stuff where you got to actually like think a little bit more, build crafting otherwise. We'll save all that for Final Shape so that it can be a nice, substantial like shakeup. And obviously Bungie is just throwing literally everything at the wall right now, seeing what sticks in a very, you know, like targeted fashion for sure. I don't want to make it seem like there isn't some sort of like big brain behind it, but I like that.
Yeah.
Everybody in the pool.
Yeah. Everybody in the pool. It's about to get weird. And yeah. It is definitely about to get weird with the dawning of prismatic guardians with the prismatic super itself. That
yep, the subclass, yep.
Yeah. That scene, it's completely nuts.
Yeah.
To me. So a little over, people were pointing out on Twitter when it was now announced that Professor Broman called it here on the show because I was like, what is something that you want to see in Destiny 2? And he's like, I want to see you be able to mix and match things. I want to be able to see, I want you to be able to wear every piece of exotic gear going into the fight with the Witness. And that was like back in July of last year, right before GCX. And we kind of got that handed to us on a platter here. With prismatic, we're going to be able to mix and match a lot of like dark and light fantasies. When they talked about Strand, they called it the action permanent subclass, but really I think that's like training wheels for what we're about to get.
I agree.
On your first, because before the call you were kind of intaking everything about prismatic, what are some of your initial thoughts and takeaways?
I'll say it again. I can't remember whether we said it, you know, pre-called or or to start the show, but I like the fact that, you know, it's abstract, it's ambiguous. The fact that, you know, there's so many combinations that are going to come up with prismatic that we can't. A lot of times when we're about to see a DLC drop and they give us some sort of preview, people are already build crafting. People are already just like, yo, this is what's going to be hot. You see the videos start coming out. Hey, this is the build right here. This is the build with the weapon. This is what type of synergy you're going to see. This is what the gameplay loop is going to look like. This is why it's going to be meta or whatnot. You're not going to be able to do that. You know? Like, sure, there are some things that some builds you're going to put together like ahead of time, but there's going to be many more builds that are going to come up that we don't really have an idea for right now, just because so much is like open-ended to, you know, just player creativity. You know, Bungie doesn't even know, you know, the type of combinations that are going to come up sometimes, even when we didn't like even in the past before prismatic. And now we're just going to be able to just build craft to our heart's content and see what type of interactions we can put together, between different elements from different subclasses. And then on top of that, I'm sure we're going to discuss the exotic class item in a little bit as well. But yeah, that was the first impression for me was, man, like, I can try to come up with something right now, but when it drops and when as well they end up, I'm sure, including, because there's only a subset of subclass mechanics that, or you know, aspects, fragments, you know, like grenades, et cetera, that are included and able to be used with prismatic. It's not the entire
kit
spectrum, you know, of all the subclasses, right? They have a select subset. And so I assume that they're going to slowly but surely pull in like other elements from the subclasses as we go, you know, and not necessarily, you know, ones that exist solely on drop of final shape. So my point again is that's the thing that stood out to me like the most with prismatic is that we just won't be able to just figure everything out. Like, because so much of this game right now, the criticism is that it's solved, right? It's just solved. We, like, players have already, like, build crafted to their heart's content, just min-maxed to the max. And so to see just, like, the chaos that will just come out of, you know, these creative builds from all these different permutations of what you can combine and what ways and what type of interactions are going to synergize seems really cool. And it seemed like from the preview, you know, the devs were just like, we don't even know. We don't even know what you guys are going to come up with. It's going to be spicy. They literally used the word broken, like, in the actual preview itself. So, you know, that's exciting to me for sure. That's the thing that, you know, most excited me about Prismatic is the fact that it just, you know, it seems like it's very hard, especially at this point, for it, for anything to be solved with it. Player creativity is going to be at an all-time high, I think.
Heck yeah. In the article that they released today, it was, they did say that, like, a lot of these abilities come from maybe some supers that are a little underutilized in some aspects. Mm-hmm. And so it does feel like we do have a very specific set for each character, for each class.
Yeah.
And the things that I'm noticing here, a distinct lack of like healing nades on these, except for everybody except for Warlock. Mm. And it almost feels like in kind of popping the doors open to all these different abilities, they're also allowing for maybe a little bit more reclamation of class identity. In these,
interesting.
Like, do you feel that in some of the way that they've built this out? Like,
I haven't thought about it. I'm gonna leave that one, you know, for you. I'll defer. Like, I didn't notice that off the rip. Not saying it's not there. Obviously, you know, this information just dropped. So, one thing I will say is maybe they're making, like, one thing I will say is if that's truly true and that was the intention, like, I'm all for it, because obviously that's been one of the biggest, if not the biggest, criticism from the 3.0. The 3.0 like rework of the subclasses is that, you know, man, like, this lost its identity and it ended up getting, you know, like, jolt nades. Arc Web was originally on Stormcaller, right? And that ended up just being kind of like evolved into Jolt, which is, I guess, maybe like a slightly less substantial or slightly less impactful like Arc Web. And then it got given to all the classes, right? Hunter, Titan, and Warlock. And so Warlocks ended up losing that aspect, that class identity or whatnot, Stormcaller in particular. To see some of that maybe get reclaimed a little bit in through Prismatic, I'd be all for that for sure, because I'm on that train. You know, I liked Arc Web there. I love and still what happened to my boy Sunspots. Like, Sunspots, Bungie, please. Why? Why? Solar Titan was so cool, man. That was the identity, man. I'd love to see that come back a little bit, you know, the way that it first dropped with 2.0 as far as the impact of Sunspots. But the point is, glad to see that come back. I'm all for, like, class identity and things that are specific to those classes or even subclasses. And, you know, they may be leaving space as well for that exotic class item. If you can really pull exotic traits from exotics across classes, then, you know, maybe that's something that they, okay, well, maybe we need to make sure that there's class identity here with Prismatic, because we're going to be mixing and matching a little bit more with the class item. So I like it.
Yeah,
but obviously we don't know what the implication is with everything else that they have cooking up. Yeah. For Final Shape,
everybody's saying cooking lately,
bro. See, that's why I looked at the camera right there, you know, because I keep on telling people it's played out. People, please stop using that word, please. But I, honestly, I don't even know what we'd replace it with at this point, man. It's just, it seems like if that's not in Merriam, like, the dictionary, the Oxford dictionary by now, it's got to be, man, because Lord have mercy. It seemed like that's a word that has no substitute at this point. That's how much I see it.
It is the first time as an adult that, like, folks have been saying something and I'm like, oh, that's kid shit. like I, you know, like, I'm not, that isn't for me. I'm fine. I don't need to partake. Thanks though. I'll stop
crazy.
Sticking out my Giat for the Rizzler. I'll keep that.
Sticking out my, oh boy.
Yeah. So, but another part, so you brought up the class items. That seems super interesting to me, because like I did kind of like a comparison after some discussion in my Discord server earlier today, I did a comparison between like the legendary that they showed off and the exotic. And I'm not entirely sure if it is something that people have picked up on. But the difference between the legendary and the exotic is that the legendary actually contributes to your stats. It contributes that 12, 12, 12 across the board to all your stats. Whereas the exotic doesn't have a stat block attributed to it, at least in the video.
Interesting. Interesting.
I don't know if on launch it will get the one.
That's interesting. That'd be a good trade off, though. Because I mean, you know, like they've made a concerted effort. I do feel like to make sure that we aren't stat monsters as much as, you know, we were in the past. That they're very heavily controlling, you know, sources of artifice gear, and then even, you know, now we have artifice gear that drops from competitive playlists, but, you know, usually those drop with an average of something like 61, 62, so it's not like anything crazy, like a dungeon at the end or something. I kind of like that trade-off, and that seems like that's kind of in the same vein as the way that they've been trying to make sure that we don't have, like, you know, triple, quadruple, 100 so easily across our stat builds. Yeah, that's interesting. Well, I guess we'll see, you know?
Yeah.
That is interesting to hear. Yeah.
Yeah. One of my questions to you is, like, so if you see somebody walking into trials with one of these class items on, are you immediately checking to see what aspects they have to be able to, like, work out their kit?
That's a really good question.
Because normally, like, with any other exotic, you can just see it, and you know exactly what you're dealing with.
You're probably right. I probably would. Yeah. I mean, yeah. I guess it just depends on what exotic traits are available to mix and match. That because they're supposed to drop with an RNG element of you don't know what's going to come on it as far as the combined traits, right?
Yeah.
And so, especially at the beginning, you know, we drop into trials right after, like, final shape drops. I'm definitely going to be checking, at the very least, just based off of novelty. You never know whether, you know, somebody's got the goated trip mines, you know, on their exotic class item, right? And that's something that I would generally want to know. I mean, I'm specking people's exotics when they do drop into the crucible. I'm sorry, when they do drop into trials, you know, from the intro screen. I don't see why I wouldn't, you know, spec their exotic class item. And I would hope that on that starter screen, just like we would be able to see Amkar Spines equipped, for example, that with the class item, we'd be able to just easily see what two traits they have on it. You know, so yeah. Definitely I would.
Heck yeah. Another thing that I was going to say, so when it dropped, I watched the thing at launch and saw Prismatic and saw how the transcendence, like, was applied, and I was thinking, why would anybody run anything else on this? But knowing, like, that there's only so many supers, like, there's still some identity left for, well, even if it's like a reduced function later on.
Definitely. I mean, there's still a lot. I don't think it's going to. It's two things. There's still a lot that the kits themselves, outside of combining things, offer, right? Prismatic is only going to be as good as how you end up, like, what you select and how you end up synergizing those things that you select together to build something, right? Also, keep in mind that they said, just like you said earlier, they're pulling together things in Prismatic elements from subclasses that are underutilized. Not all of them, but, you know, like, a lot of them that they pulled together were specifically because they were underutilized, right? Which tells me, at the very least, that, you know, these, you know, may not be Prismatic, may just at baseline may not be as impactful. You know, the sum of the parts aren't going to go crazy with the, above the ceiling of something that is just a set subclass like Well of Radiance with what's available today, is what I'm saying. So, you know, I still expect to see, you know, the 3.0 subclasses just set outside of Prismatic. I still expect to see, you know, them, you know, well represented across all of PvE and PvP. But obviously, we'll just have to, you know, wait and see. So much of it is what is available on Prismatic, and you know, how are people combining things, you know, to make something equally or more impactful is what we have already.
Another thing, talking about class identity, they added like the Hailfire Spike, the Electrified Snare, and the Freezing Singularity. So those mm-hmm. will only be active on those classes.
Only when transcendent as well.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and so you kind of alluded to, why would you run Prismatic over the 3.0s, just the subclasses that we have these days? Mm-hmm. I think that a large selling piece for that for sure will be transcendence. Mm-hmm. You know, you end up getting that boosted ability regen and the looping that you can do between the melee and the grenade. And also just the additional ability for matching elemental weapons to kind of build into getting transcendent, and you know, what you can do with you know, some additional synergizing and looping there.
When you were going through some of the facets earlier, you pointed out facet of purpose and facet of ruin, that we only got about half, a little over half, of the facets listed than what are going to drop. I guess there's going to be a total of 21 fragments for Prismatic itself on day one. What about those? So, like, the facet of purpose, picking up an orb grants either amplified restoration, frost armor, woven mail, or overshield based on damage type of your equipped super, and facet of rain or ruin, the increase size of damage of the burst when they shatter a stasis crystal or frozen target, and increases the size of solar ignitions. You had expressed that those would be pretty handy in the Crucible. Care to reiterate that for the folks who weren't in here before the call?
So for folks that maybe aren't, you know, up on it, we're getting some new fragments specific to Prismatic subclass, the new subclass. They start off with facet, just like you know, void fragments start off with echo, you know, arc fragments start off with spark. And so the two that stuck out to me the most, not in like a bad way per se or anything like that, but they just mm-hmm. stuck out to me, was facet of purpose, and the other one being facet of ruin. The facet of purpose, just like you said, picking up an orb of power, it either grants you amplified restoration, frozen armor, woven mail, or overshield based on the damage type of your equipped super. And, you know, that's just basically, a lot of those come around to damage resistance or some sort of healing. Woven mail, overshield, obviously damage resistance, restoration would be a good example of like healing, and to some degree damage resistance as well, because if you're running tier 10, I don't know if this is still true right now, because 140 hand cannons just ended up getting a buff just yesterday on Tuesday, mostly to address damage fall off issues that happened after the previous update. But either way, if someone was using restoration and had tier 10 resilience, you can't actually, if they had restoration active, I think one or two, it didn't matter, you can't actually three tap them. You know, like it before the update, it hit for 377s to the head with a 140 hand cannon, and they got left with like a sliver of health. You literally could not three tap them if they had just dropped a heal nade, for example, and had tier 10 resilience. So restoration, you know, does some funky things when it comes to certain, you know, like niche situations to kind of push the optimal on some weapons. Like I said, I don't know if that's still going to be the case with the increased headshot damage coming from 140s after this past update. But either way, that's interesting. You know, that's interesting that an orb of power is going to do that right now. You know, the best you're going to get from an orb of power in the Crucible is Devour, mm-hmm. or building into like Better Already, or there's another one on Boots, a boot mod that starts your recovery or something like that. So that's the best you're going to get. No, it's not a kickstart. It's called, I can't remember. Better Already is the example that I do remember the name of. Better Already is a mod on the boots that whenever you pick up an orb, you end up getting, you end up starting your recovery. So I end up using
recuperation.
Recuperation is the other one. That's correct. I end up using recuperation because end up whenever I end up proccing an orb from like, say, a double kill with a shotgun, and then I have a siphon on my helmet that drops an orb for that shotgun off of like rapid kills, which in the Crucible just counts as two. I end up taking out two people with the shotgun, an orb drops, and I'm right there, and I slide over it just automatically, or Powerful Attraction is a mod that is on my class item. So the orb ends up getting attracted to me a little bit. Either way, I get that orb, and I get a bump to my health at that point off of recuperation that it gives me just a little bit of damage resistance that allows me to hopefully make a play on that third person. Right before I'm able to get recovery, before I'm able to get health back from just my normal recovery, I end up getting, a health boost just off of that orb. And so that's what Facet of Purpose kind of like continues to play into that gameplay loop. Picking up that orb just gives you some additional damage resistance or recovery or amplified. And, you know, there's ways right now where if you're amplified, you get a little bit of damage resistance off of being amplified. And so that's what, seemed a little... mildly spicy. And so that was interesting for PvP. And then for PvP as well, the Facet of Ruin, increasing the size and damage of the burst when you shatter a stasis crystal or frozen target. Or if you're using solar ignitions, it increases the size of the solar ignitions. Those are things that, something that I like about the seasonal artifact mods is they're using them as a means to test things in the Crucible as well. During that season, I know they are 100%, and I think that's so cool and so like big brain. You know, these are things that people can choose to have on or off, so it's not always active, right? People have to kind of build craft into it and know a little bit. They don't. Most of them just don't work on their own outside of something like Flint Striker, which gets you radiant off of some solar taps to the head or a solar kill or something like that. That's the one that pretty much like everybody knows, everybody uses if they're using something solar. But my point is, on the artifact right now, there is a stasis like mod on the end in the fifth column that increases the damage from shattering stasis crystals, and also I think releases like some damaging stasis shard thingies like off of the crystals once they burst.
Hail the Storm. Shattering frozen targets and stasis crystals deals increased damage. Shattering stasis crystals releases shards of ice that damage and slow targets.
Yep. And so, and you guys know I get kind of in depth with this. I'm trying not to be super, super chatty about this. I do like to get in detail about these things because, I've just been here for a long time, so I know the past, I know the present, and we get peaks of the future, and I just see how they all come together. But the thing about Facet of Ruin that's cool, the thing about that particular artifact mod, is that if you combine that artifact mod with a Whisper of Fissures on Stasis subclass, and you end up using Shatter Dive, and you obviously end up using a Glacier Nade, if you do all four of those together, then you actually get, off of my experience, something about maybe 80-85% of the power that was initially the OG Shatter Dive through Glacier Nades that ended up being a strong pain point in the Crucible because it was just so easy to get kills with. It was very, very high ease of use and very reliable. And keep in mind as well, when that first got introduced, when Stasis dropped in the Crucible, it could kill supers very easily as well. Roaming supers had no chance against that. It was crazy. So, it's not quite to that level, but nonetheless, I do feel like they were they test things, and this is what we're getting Facet of Ruin based off of that. They were just like, it's not crazy, like the way that it currently is when people combine those four together. It's not as if it has the same degree of impact as the original Shatter Dive through Glacier Nades. But it does make it substantially more viable, and it doesn't break anything. And so now we're getting this Facet of Ruin Which I totally am behind because I'm not a big proponent of the original Shatter Dive into Glacier Nades, the way that it dropped. But the way that it is right now and the fact that it requires you to equip like at least four different things in order for you to get like 80% of the original and make it somewhat impactful again, I'm cool with that. So I like this is all I'm saying. You know, it does seem like you're probably going to have to equip it, like I said, with, you know, Whisper of Fissures, Shatter Dive, and Glacier Nades for you to get something out of it. But I'm all about having to pull together build crafting from several sources in order to get something super impactful, especially on the ability side of things. You know, so you're making some sacrifices, but, you know, your kit ends up being something that feels good.
Well, the final bit of conversation that I kind of want to have with you before we let you go. How does it feel 10 years on to get a new, like, almost, I think this is the newest enemy type in the Dread.
The Dread.
That we've had in the lifespan of the game. Even like the Taken had like echoes of being from various D1. Different enemy races throughout throughout the game, and then you have it's not Forsaken. What are
Scorn?
The Scorn. Like the Scorn are just kind of like modeled off of other things. These kind of like, other than the Scion looking ones, seem completely whole cloth. How do you feel about fighting something brand new in the game?
It's exciting. It's exciting. I'm all for just new stuff that hasn't been solved, man.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so much of the, I think that's gotta be like one of the biggest pain points and one of the ones that I feel like people don't talk about enough. Plenty of people talk about it for sure. You know, the Cammy Cakes, the Drews, you know, especially when it comes to PvP, but even in PvE, things that are like solved, people are bored by, you know, like
you brought up strikes earlier.
Strikes.
I feel like those have been supplanted by, Grandmaster Nightfalls. I feel like Nightfalls now are more rewarding. They're more like you want to play them more, and so you're just not hopping into strike playlist, at least on this coming from somebody on like maybe a higher end of the skill shelf. In PvE, I just don't run strikes nearly as much as maybe I used to when I was off looking for stuff. It's mainly all Nightfalls now.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you know, and you're talking about something, you know, something that is related or whatnot. And I think that strikes would definitely have more viability, definitely be played more if it had, you know, better loot in it, right? If it had unique loot in it, if it had an Imago loop in there, for example.
Yeah.
I'm sure that they, you know, at this point, for sure, do not intend for that to happen. They've been pushing people like elsewhere, whatnot. I don't know what the future of strikes is going to be. Mm-hmm. By the way, bring back strike scoring, or I think that's what it was. I think it was called strike scoring, or that was always really fun back in D1. But you know, things have just been solved for so long in PvE that ends up equating to boredom, and like a meta that just doesn't change. Obviously, Greppo talks about all the time.
Yeah.
Well of Radiance and the reliance on that, especially in higher level content. In PvP, a really good example of this is like the Control playlist. We've been playing Control for like forever, so it just, you know, totally solved to the point where people just don't even have to move anymore. You know, they just put on certain weapons, lock down control points, and we just don't move. And so Control is not, in my opinion, very well versed for the current like sandbox and where we are as far as the demographic of players and the knowledge that players have. People need to be incentivized more to move, and that's why I don't know why we're not capitalizing on supremacy. We just end up creating tribute which gives us crests, right? And so that is actually incentivizing people to move more around the map. I don't know what's going on with Supremacy. I think that's honestly the best PvP mode that we currently have for this generation of Destiny 2 PvP, because it's still an objective, right?
Mm-hmm.
Still an impactful objective by picking up those crests, but they can drop anywhere.
Yeah.
And so people are forced to go and actually travel over where they just ended up eliminating an enemy player and continue to move. And there are obviously pros and cons to that, right? As far as like your positioning and what impact that has on you being able to live and what engagement is going to follow next after that. Either way, looking forward to Final Shape, looking forward to all this new stuff, and going back to the Dread as the new like enemy type, you know, I think it's super exciting to see something. You called it something of a wholly new cloth. Is that the phrase that you used?
Whole cloth. Like
whole cloth.
Kind of like instead of like recycling something, and I don't even mean that as like a bad thing.
I know development
takes a while, you know?
Yeah. I didn't take it that way.
Yeah. But this feels like they have brand new interactions. They have brand new like enemy types that we haven't seen before in the game.
Yeah.
That like some of them seem ripped straight out of Hades. Yeah. Like the husks. That reminded me of an enemy type that I faced in Hades before, and I was like, oh, I've seen you before. I know who you are. You're gonna wreck my shit.
I know your game.
You're gonna wreck my shit and everybody should be afraid of you. So like it kind of felt, you know,
well, it's gonna create new like player interactions with mm-hmm. them, you know, things like even just think of something simple like the bats, right? Mm-hmm. You know, they said it and it's true. We haven't really had that type of enemy in the game before. I think the most we've really had to interact with things like flying around us that could actually do damage is maybe those like butterflies from Witch Queen.
Yeah.
You know, that sometimes can run up if we get too close to them, they explode and create damage. You know, we might have had like, I might be forgetting like one or two other things, but we've even had like a wholly new like flying enemy, you know, that is just like flapping around us in droves, like multiple, that we're going to have to aim, you know, in that vertical space at. And I assume that they're going to end up being combined in some sort of horde mode or some mm-hmm. sort of horde instance with, you know, enemies that are on the ground as well. The demographic that plays Destiny 2, our community is so skilled at the game, so experienced at the game now. We need something extra to challenge us on a fundamental level. You know, just mixing it up just with verticality at the very least of these enemies is something that's good and something that folks haven't been used to doing, especially in conjunction with ground enemies. So between that and, you know, the husks and, you know, learning new engagement patterns of these enemies and, you know, their crit spots and, you know, what's the best way, most optimal way to engage them and what happens when we don't engage them optimally, but we're, you know, we still have the opportunity to take them out or whatnot, but what's going to happen next with that? I mean, I don't know, just super interesting to see something, you know, like new to that degree. It's not just, hey, we get a new enemy type, but it's, hey, we need to interact with that enemy type very, very differently from what, you know, currently exists in order to, you know, take it out optimally. And even if that's not challenging, they said it in the video, even if that's not challenging in a 1v1, it's not going to be a 1v1. You're going to have multiple enemies. That's the challenge of it is multiple of these same type of enemies or a mix, the density, exactly. And the variety that are included within that bunch. It's going to be cool. And I'm just super excited about like new content, meaning a new challenge on a very fundamental level.
Heck yeah. Well, Tony, thank you so much for joining us again today.
Of course.
Where can people find you on the internet, sir?
You can find me at IllPhysics on most things, you know, twitch.tv/IllPhysics. Of course, we don't call it that other name. It's twitter.com/IllPhysics. You can still find it with that link. So we're going to do it like that. And of course, every once in a while when I post on YouTube, like 3-4 times a year, you can find me IllPhysics there as well. And the Discord is also IllPhysics, where we hold it down with like, you know, 3,000 plus folks just in there cracking up and talking about a bunch of different stuff, playing a bunch of like improvement games in labs, which are our community scrims, which are insanely popular for y'all just I swear to God, I can have like a 48-hour stream and it'll just be my cue for people that want to hop into these private matches and hang out with us and improve and have a good time. It just never empties. It literally never empties. So we have a good time with our community designed like rule set, which is much more broad than just a typical like scrim rule set, and just very community driven, encouragement driven, and no tox. I mean, you know, very minimal, if any. I hear of any toxicity, you know, I'm gonna be right on it. So
out.
Yeah, 100. It's pretty much zero tolerance. So we have a good time, and it's a blessing. So.
My name's Danfinity. You can find me on the Twitter and the Instagram and the TikTok at DanfinityGG. You can also find me on Twitch 3 days a week, twitch.tv/Danfinity, helping Guardians out with in-game activities. If you'd like to support the show, remember to rate and review on your podcast platform of choice. Anything you say helps us in the algorithm. And if you'd like to give a couple bucks a month, head on over to ko-fi.com/Danfinity. That is ko-fi.com/Danfinity. All the links are in the notes for the show. Thank you so much for listening, and I hope you find what you're grinding for.